Going to be reading in just a moment from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to ask you to turn in your Bible to be ready as we read from the Word of God. We're going to read Romans 12 starting at verse 3. And as you're turning there, please know how pleased I am to see you this morning. Glad that those who've been in Africa are back. We missed you and prayed for you. We're thankful for your return to us, thankful for Miles being here, and those who've been physically sick are better. We're apparently in flu season, but we want to not only be mindful of those who aren't here, but thank God for the improvement of those who are. Romans chapter 12, starting at verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say that every man among you should not think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. I'm interested this morning in two words that appear four times in this reading. Two words that are actually one word in Greek. In English, it's one another, or your version might have each other. But in Greek, it's allelon. And I tell you that because Ron Mosby's not here to correct me, but just one word in the Greek. And the reason that's significant is because this is a word that means mutual, reciprocal, meaning each one does it to one another. A lot of times we think of the church as the place that I come to be encouraged, and I come to be edified, and I come to be admonished. But what that word tells us is that while I have the right to expect that, You have the right to expect me to do that for you too, and you to me. It's one another. We've got to get past this mindset that the church is just some club that we have membership in, and we show up and only get benefits. We never have to give anything. You see, that's everyone else's job, not mine. It's one another. If I could encourage you to do one thing this morning, it's to get into the business of one anothering one another. Four times, just in these verses, that same phrase appears 100 times in the New Testament. One another. Well, what does that phrase imply? Just those two words. What does that tell us about this business of one anothering one another? Well, I want to suggest three. It suggests identity. It suggests unity. And it suggests responsibility. What is my part in one anothering? First, as the word suggests, each of us is one. And Paul said that in verse 5. We who are many are one body in Christ. But look what he says in the next phrase. And individually, members of one another. That speaks to the individual. One another. Each of us is one. And that says that each of us has value. Every single part is important. Everyone is one. Did you notice in the verses that follow, as he speaks of using these gifts that God has given to each one? Now, they're all different gifts, but he said God sees them as the same. In his verse 6, prophecy according to the proportion of his faith. If your gift is to proclaim and to speak the word that God has given, then do that with your might. If your gift is to serve or to teach or to exhort or to give or to lead or to show mercy, then realize that has value. Now, I understand that it may not show in the bulletin each week. We commend the following members who have shown mercy this week. But God says that's just as important as the one who stands up and teaches. Each has value. One. And you are one. Individual members. One of another. Each one does not have the exact same function, but they're all essential. I was talking to somebody once who was going in for knee surgery. I said, I thought that was your good knee. And they said, it used to be. But what happened? Because something else in the body wasn't working properly, they favored it too much. And it became weak. And then that part needed to be repaired. You see, when each one doesn't see the value of their part, then the whole body suffers. And the whole body can't function like it ought. You ever wonder why sometimes when someone is dying in the hospital, we'll say that their organs, plural, are shutting down? Why? Because the heart affects the kidneys and the kidneys affect the lungs, and they all work together. And when one starts to shut down, they all shut down. What one another suggests is that every single member is important. For the very simple reason, you're created in God's image and then recreated in the image of His Son when you become a Christian. And that makes you important, essential in the body of Christ. One another implies identity. And yet we say, someone else will do it. In a church this size, I know this needs to be done, but somebody else will do it. You see, that's not one anothering one another. That's expecting to receive and not give anything. Remember, each one has its place, and each one has a part. What if everyone in the body thought the way you did? Someone else will do it. Would Carol Bowen and Roberta Gray get to services? Would all the classes get taught, and all the cards get sent, and all the prayers get offered? Someone else will do it. Each one is one. You have an identity. I am only one, said Edward Everett Hale, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. Let us, each one, get into the business of one another. One another. Each one has value and an identity in the body of Christ. Well, that same word suggests, number two, not just identity, but one is unity. Same verse 5 that says we are individually members of one another says we who are many are one body in Christ. And so not only I am one, but we are one. I once got a special privilege of having a front row seat to a discussion two people were having about what one times one equals. One of them was very certain and argued their case that one times one equals zero. The other was just as adamant. No, one times one equals two. And I thought, I really need to interject here. I need to get involved. But I said, no, Dee and Jonathan will figure it out on their own. You know what God's math is? He says 1 + 1 = 1. A man shall leave his father and his mother and cling to his wife. And what does he say will happen? The two shall become one. Flesh. 1 + 1 = 1. And the same is true in the church. What did Jesus spend over 3 years trying to do with 12 people? Make them one. What was the problem? Well, Luke 9 and verse 46, an argument arose among them as to which one of them might be the greatest. They weren't one-anothering each other. They were one-upping each other. Which one of us is the most important of the 12? Don't you know even James the Less was in on that? No, I want to be James the greatest. The sons of Zebedee came to Jesus and said, Lord, give us the honor that when you come and sit on your throne, one of us can sit on your right and one of us on your left. Were they looking to be one with the other 10, or were they hoping beat them to the punch? That's why Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane in John 17:11, when he prayed for his apostles, that they may be one, even as we are. Keep your place here, but look at Acts chapter 1 after the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. Jesus' prayer is answered. When we read in Acts 1 and verse 13, when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying, that is, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. These all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. With one mind. Finally, they got the message. Finally, they started one anothering. And now they are of one mind. But Jesus did not just pray this for his disciples in the first century. The same prayer in John 17 and verse 20. I do not ask in behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, that they may be one. So as these apostles then go out and preach the gospel, I pray for all those who believe, that they be united, that they have one another. And so it was in Acts chapter 2 and verse 43, everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Now look at Acts 4 and verse 32. And the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonging to him was his own, but all things were common property to them. You say, well, that's just not possible in a church of 300 plus. This was 3,000 people. And later, the number came to be 5,000. And what does it say? They were of one mind. They were together. They were of one heart and soul. Because they got into the business of one another in each other. Unity. They were one. Look back to our passage in Romans 12. Not only does he say one body in verse 5, but here's another one of those one another passages. Verse 16. Be of the same mind toward one another. Part of unity is not just the absence of divisions, that we all agree on the one gospel and have the one faith, but that we have the same care for one another. Now again, your first thought may be, well, nobody does that for me. I want you to start thinking of that from the standpoint of what am I giving to everyone else? Remember, it's mutual. I don't just expect it and then don't give anything. The same care, where everybody is the same. That's unity. One anothering means I don't just do that for certain people, for those who sit around me, or for those who are my age, or for those who are of similar interests as I am. Everyone. Would you do that for everyone? One another. I am one. But we are one. Let's get into the business of one anothering one another. And then number three, that speaks to responsibility. It goes from one to another. One to another. Two passages I want to look at here in Romans 12 that will help us see two phases of this responsibility. One is the motive, and the other is the attitude. Look at verse 10. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's the motive part. This responsibility is born out of love. Did you know that of all the one another passages, that one third of them are simply love one another? A third of them. Does that not give us an indication of how important that is to God? And a realization that maybe we'd forget that? Love one another. Be devoted to one another. How? In brotherly love. Now again, remember that goes both ways. You can't say, well, this is a church that just doesn't love anybody. I mean, I stood out there and nobody came up and said a word to me. which to me is kind of like saying, well, I sat by the phone and nobody called me. Well, one, we need to get better at that, if that's so. But two, what are you giving? Love one another. Not expect love and accept love, but don't give any. Love one another. Show forbearance with one another in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 2. Fervently love one another from the heart. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22. Again, that implies there are times where that's going to be difficult to do that. Because sometimes we're not lovable. And that's going to be hard. Love one another. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And then the same verse tells of the attitude, give preference to one another in honor. This responsibility is with the attitude of humility. Give preference to one another in honor. I remember several years ago when this church was first exposed to the paperless hymnal where the screens were used for the songs. Tim Stevens used it once during the lectures. And the elders followed up by saying, we're going to use it here for a trial period and we want to solicit feedback from the church. And it was obvious that there were some who didn't like it. And it was not a scriptural objection. It's the same thing as what's in the book up here. It's not a matter of truth and error, it's just personal preference. But do you know who spoke up first to the elders in favor of it? Older people. They said, you know, these books are heavy. And the pages are hard to turn. And when we have to stand up to sing, usually I have to hold on to the pew and then to hold a book too. They said, it's helping my worship just to be able to look up there and see the songs. And you know who spoke up next? Mothers with young children. They said, you know, it's hard to wrestle a child in a diaper bag and songbook. It's helping my worship. And when that started getting around, you know what happened to all those people who didn't like it for personal reasons? They said, let it happen. If it's helping them worship God, I'm all for it. And if I need to, I'll just use a book. That's giving preference to one another. It's not about me. It's about one another. The ESV has in this same verse, outdo one another. In humility, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Philippians 2 in verse 3. This responsibility of one anothering is with an attitude of humility. I'm not the most important part of this body. I am just one part. And so I'm going to give preference to my brother and my sister. I'm going to show honor to them because it's not about me. let's get into the business of one anothering. One another. Because we are all members of one another. That will require unity. It will require identity. And it will require responsibility. One another. This responsibility, born out of love, comes from the love God had for us. You know, He saw us as being valuable. Valuable enough that His Son would die for our sins. He wants us to be one. That we can continue to preach the gospel, not only through the words of the scriptures, but through our lives in our places of work and school, in our homes, our neighborhoods. And in so doing, draw people closer to a God who wants to be one with them. The sermon this morning was mostly for our members at Southside. And we don't apologize for that. But if you like what you see here, and you want to be a part of what we're trying to do here, then would you make that known today? If that means coming and confessing your faith in Jesus as the Son of God and having your sins washed away that the Lord could add you to His church, then why don't you do that? If that means coming and confessing some sin that you've hidden and needs public repentance, then why don't you come do that? If you want to cast your lot with us as we work together and strive to please God before we reach our home in heaven, then why don't you do that? So that we can all begin to one another, one another. But do it right now while we stand, while we sing.